Okay, good evening, everyone. This is Mike Hoffpower, President of U.S. Chess. I've got the executive board assembled here, as you can see on your screen, and we've been in closed session for a little over an hour. And as we come out of this closed session, we'd like to fill you in on some of the things that we talked about. First of all, we talked about the invitational rules. And we currently have a set of invitational rules that require some updating. So Boyd Reed, our director of events, has proposed some changes, and Ryan Velez, as our liaison with top players, is going to take the changes that are recommended to the top players committee to coordinate with them, and then we'll finalize those the new invitational rules and then vote on those as an executive board so they can be put into effect before the end of this calendar year, so that they're in effect at the start of the new calendar year. I'd like to ask Chuck Unruh to provide a financial update, please.
Good evening, everyone. The preliminary numbers are in for November, and November is the end of our second quarter. We'd like to share a comparison to last November before COVID. COVID has done some really strange things to the budget, and it's been very difficult to forecast. So the preliminary numbers are comparisons to November of last year. Carol, do you have that, what I sent over?
I don't know that I have anything from you, Chuck, unless
I worked up a spreadsheet for us, and I sent it to your email.
You sure did, just before we started.
Yes. Well, the good news is that we are ahead on the bottom line from last year, but getting there is a most interesting journey. So we'll look at the high points here on our spreadsheet.
You see that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is the membership revenue. Yes, thank you. Thank you for zooming it up.
Yes, much better.
We're on Zoom.
For us old folks.
We were talking earlier in closed session about membership revenues. November was a very good month. And these numbers, of course, are preliminary. Our membership revenues have some multi-year part in those. But compared to last year, we're roughly about 20% at most off of the membership revenue in a normal year. And that would be for November of 19. It says 13.7, but it does contain the multi-year memberships. We will work on those for the actual final second quarter report. So we continue to lag a little in membership. It was to be expected. Our most optimistic number for the entire year was 30% from normal. Our worst number, we thought it could be as much as 50% off owing to the coronavirus. Total operating revenue is interesting. We are approximately down 266,000, call it 267 rounded, and that's 20% off our normal. The total operating revenue, we expect it to decrease because it is primarily based on membership revenue. Web services are high, and the reason was that we were finishing up our program, our phase one program, as it bled over into this year. So we had some more payments to make on that phase one. The actual increase for this month, web services, is only $40,000. So the 151 was a high number, but going forward, we're expecting 35 to 40,000. Carol, do you have any comment on that?
The November number, it actually included a prepayment of 3 months of hosting, which I think is about $11,000 to $13,000, somewhere in that range. So the actual development part of that is significantly lower.
Yes, so, and that's included in the $40,000.
correct.
So then going forward, what would you expect the monthly maintenance before the next cycle?
So that particular cost is going to be variable because there's not only maintenance in that invoice and the quarterly hosting charges we get billed for, but there's actually additional development going on. We are getting regular requests from members to make adjustments to things. There are things that have been discovered on the staff side that weren't documented as part of a phase one activity that we are continuing to do some development work. I think the 30 to 40,000 a month range through the rest of the fiscal year is quite realistic.
So 240,000 for 6 months would be possibly the most.
Best guess.
Okay. But see, that was a significant part that was when we budgeted, we didn't budget enough for this. And so we're picking it up now. So if we move on to our total magazine expense, now you notice the numbers are in green, red, it's working against us, green, that's good. So the green here is our magazine expenses down $34,000 on a year-to-year comparison. Likewise, promotions are down significantly. We gained another 27,000, 28,000 rounded. Total personnel expenses, which is payroll, they're right in line. We're actually 17,000 ahead from what I could see from last year. The large number is in our general administration. And we touched on this last month. Not as many visa charges. We're not traveling. That's an amazing number to save 35% on your general and administration. Total governance. Well, Zoom sure has taken some of that out of it, and not having the US open. Our governor's expenses did not change from last month. And we're around $17,000 for the year, which is a decrease of 55%. All these things, we're seeing our expenses come in way under the normal. And that's just a product of a coronavirus and the pandemic, staying indoors and I guess remote work. So without the over the board, these numbers are factual, but as we go into our budgets for next year, we'll have to increase all of them. We're not going to have this type of cost savings. So our net operating income is down. And this is where I said the journey's a little bit different. It's down from last year by 39,000. Not bad. When you were expecting a membership revenue drop of 30% at least. Then here's where it gets, the story is different. Since we're not doing over the board as our large tournaments, our revenues have dropped, but our expenses have dropped even more for a net of tournament profit of 241,000, call it 242 on the round. So not holding over the board tournaments has been very profitable. Now that's not what we're gonna do in the future, but it tells us a little bit about the type of money that is put towards or in resources toward forward to over the board play. Then our total income, which I thought was really astounding, was $161,923 more than expected for this time. So it's interesting how we have changed in changing to online services and cutting our costs. It's interesting to me that in a time of adversity that we're running a surplus of 161.9. Well, of that, this month was a very, very good month in our investments. But even so, if we take out the 94,000 we gained in investments, that's still a good surplus.
Yeah, I think one thing we've, you know, we mentioned it in closed session, but it was sort of a, you know, events drive, you know, revenue for the organization because they drive membership. But I think also it's the fact that we're getting members because of the online events that we otherwise wouldn't get. And those members that are participating in these online events, you know, you and I are both hope, we're all hoping that these players will come and play in our over the board events once that over the board play starts, because, you know, can start up again in earnest because that, you know, just the love for the game that they develop and being able to play it online. So I think we may be able to realize some growth in membership as we come out of the, you know, the virus and start going back into over the board play. And we have our online players who are going to want to come try something over the board.
And that's a Mike and Chuck, that's a good point that clearly we're getting some new people that didn't necessarily play over the board, but are now playing, you know, via the online platforms. But my question is how much of the memberships that we're getting online are actual renewals of people that previously renewed when they played in over the board tournaments. Do we know kind of what that breakout looks like?
We haven't done that analysis, Randy. But I can tell you that with the online qualifier that continues for the US Championship, mm-hmm. After the first or second weekend, over 300 new memberships were generated by that event alone.
Really? That had not been over the right. board players?
You can tell by the the sequence of membership ID numbers. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, we are definitely attracting new people to the Federation, or perhaps they forgot they had an ID.
Gambit.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of positive things about chess right now, and I think taken together, and you know, we have been making a concerted effort to drive membership as well, linking it to events, promoting the mini series. You know, all of those things taken together are having a positive effect, as Chuck just described.
Well, you all have. You've done a really good job on that. Jen has done some really nice stuff. You know, Frankie on LinkedIn has had a bunch of stuff. You all have a good presence on Facebook, and the issue was great. I thought that issue was one of the more approachable issues that, you know, somebody who isn't necessarily a player, I passed it around to the women in my house, and you know, it's a good looking issue.
And just this coming weekend, we have the K-12 showdown that'll be held. And normally this time of the year, we have our K-12 grade championships down in Orlando, but because of the COVID, we can't do that. And that event normally brings in about 1800 players. And already for the K-12 showdown, we have almost 2,500 players registered now. So it was over 2,460 when I checked about 30 minutes ago during our closed session. And a lot of those are new members. So that's a very, very good thing for the organization.
And it's accessible too. You know, we got to keep in mind, a lot of these players, those are significant travel expenses that they don't have. And so some families that couldn't afford to play in those kinds of events now can. And I think going forward, we have to keep that in mind too.
Well, one thing to keep in mind, and Carol can address this, is that this new model that we have, this new business model for this year, is putting, I would think, considerable stress on our employees. Can you address that, Carol? Are we going to need additional staff?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm so proud of our team who, you know, everybody has stepped up and taken on additional duties. We've had some staff attrition. We've not filled some roles where we've had that attrition. And yeah, we're really hoping that we can manage through the potential for burnout, because we certainly don't want to run anybody into the ground. You know, moving forward, you know, there are some areas where we'd like to enhance our staff capacity. IT would be one area, you know, having somebody on our team who's dedicated to IT. You know, we don't really have like a membership director. I've been filling some of that role. Our creative person has been taking some of that on to market memberships more actively. That would be another area where we might look to build some internal capacity. And there may be some other places, you know, for to support programs that we hope to expand on. So, you know, down the line, when we're on the other side of the uncertainty, we most certainly will be looking to round out our staff team. But right now, you know, a big shout out to the folks we have on board. And, you know, we're doing our best to not only be relevant, but, you know, bring chess to more people, as Randy was just pointing out, you know, and Mike was pointing out about the number of new people who are coming into the game because of the circumstances that on one hand feel kind of negative. I think we are really excited about the opportunity we've been presented.
If I were to say it's May 30th, and it was the end of the year, May 31st of this year, I actually believe that we're going to finish with a surplus instead of a loss as we project it in the budget. We projected about $107,000 loss. Based on these numbers, and of course, Randy mentioned in closed session the PPP coming through, I believe we're going to have a positive. I don't know how much, but we'll be green for the year thanks to the dedication and the work of the staff and management.
And you probably, Chuck, want it for those that are on watching that don't know what the PPP, Paycheck Protection Program, the federal government's program for small businesses that USCHS qualified for, got a forgivable loan. And much of that, of what we receive, will probably meet terms to be forgiven. But we still show that, because it is technically a loan, we right now are showing that as an obligation. Is that kind of a fair restatement?
That's my understanding.
That is
right, Chuck.
We're showing the full $229,000 as a loan.
When we start talking government money, then I understand it.
Okay. Well, I had the same problem visiting about investments with the acronyms. So thank you.
I mean, we all know, but I just, there, if anybody is following along at home at some point in time, they may not know what that meant. Mm-hmm.
But in all, it was a very good month. Like I said, especially, I think that was our best month ever in the investment arena, where we actually gained $94,000 in all three of our funds, our endowment, our reserve, and
LMA.
The LMA were at new highs.
What are you going to do for an encore, Chuck?
I'm going to continue working with the rest of the cash, and we'll get totally invested someday, and who knows? But the news is good now. But yes, what have you done for me lately comes to mind.
Well, you've done a lot.
Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate the hard work, and thanks for the update for the members.
You're welcome.
Moving on, another topic we'd like to discuss briefly is correspondence chess. There's been quite a bit of activity from a standpoint of the future of correspondence chess. So I'll let Carol talk to what we're taking a look at doing from a perspective of putting a team together to take a look at correspondence chess.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a couple months ago, our longtime contractor who ran our correspondence chess program, Alex Dunn, suffered a stroke that turned out to be quite debilitating. And Alex had every intention of being able to continue in his role. And once he got back home after rehab, it became apparent that he was not going to be able to continue. And so Chris Bird of our events department has stepped forward and is wading through the backlog of correspondence entries and other administrative things to bring the program up to a current state. But I think we've heard from a number of correspondence players over the past year, really since the pandemic began, noting that this might be a time for a correspondence chess resurgence and a second heyday, if you will. And as such, we'd like to put together a task force of stakeholders, people who are correspondence players, to help guide us as an organization, you know, to work with our staff about how we can improve on the services we offer, what can we be doing that's better to serve our members who play, and to identify the issues that we have with the program that frankly none of us on the inside really know, because nobody other than Alex has really been involved with the program for a very long time. So we've been collecting names. I think we have a 5 or 6 names that have stepped forward, offered their service. And I think after tonight's meeting, the board will consider all those names and will reach out directly to, I hope, put together that task force that can begin working and advising the board on and the staff really on steps it should be taking to make correspondence chess an attractive offering and to perhaps modernize what we're doing.
Any questions from board members at all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Carol, for that update on correspondence chess. Ryan, how about giving us an update on the Accessibility and Special Circumstances Committee and their initiative to update their guidelines?
Yep. We had a meeting just a day or so ago, and the committee met, and it was a very productive meeting. It was exactly 60 minutes, which was their goal, and that was really good. Yeah, basically what their plan is they are going to coordinate with Carol. I've already spoken with Carol. They're going to coordinate with Carol and or me or the office or whoever is most appropriate to basically reach out to organizers across the country who have run online tournaments, because they want to get a sense of what kind of accommodations have they been having to make for people with special circumstances and needs. And they want to then take that information and compile it and put into the accessibility or the ASCC guidelines that they wrote up last year for kind of an online play chapter or appendix or something of that sort. And so that's going to be their main focus for the next few months. And data collection is going to start maybe after our next meeting, which is 2 weeks from now. So right now we're trying to figure out who to contact. We're putting together a contact list, mostly just by gleaning information from cross tables, because most of the cross tables that are being submitted across the country right now are online tournaments. So that's made figuring out who's doing this pretty easy. So that's the main thing that they're doing, which I think is very encouraging.
Ryan, does it make any sense for us to even just do an email blast to all organizers who
Yeah, we could probably do that. I can talk to the chair just to make sure she's aware that that is a possibility. But yeah, I don't see why that's...
Mike could develop some specific questions, Ryan, that could be part of the email blast, mm-hmm. or just, you know, a general call for, you know, comments or something. But I mean, just think it through a little bit before we use the blast.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's fine. I also think for something like this, individual contact is probably more useful. So if we just gave the chair the list or whoever we are okay with contacting people, that's probably an okay path to go to as well.
Okay. Thanks for that update, Ryan.
Mm-hmm. I had a conversation last week with Judith Sari about some of the online events that I have been involved with, and I've been having that discussion, and I'll be happy to support that data collection effort also.
Thanks, David. I think the expert, you know, the experience that you've been having in all the online events that you've been running, and other folks like Brian Yang and Steve Emmett and so forth will be valuable kinds of input that we can use to update the guidelines. Okay. One thing I do want to call members' attention to, this past weekend was the FIDE General Assembly conducted online. I attended, Carol Weyer was able to attend, Alan Priest attended as the Continental representative, and Mike Kordakowski attended as a FIDE vice president, as well as our representative at FIDE and our voting member, you know, for our delegation. The meeting was shown on YouTube, so many of the members may have been able to see that. And Alan Priest has a thread in the forum that provides updates on some of the things that were talked about in particular. So I encourage you to go to the forum. But if you do, just do all, you know, you get on YouTube and you look for FIDE General Assembly, you can find it and watch the, you know, watch the meeting if you haven't had a chance to do so. But it was a very good meeting. And the biggest thing that I see, you know, several things coming out of that. One is FIDE is trying to catch up, if you will, with online play. So there are going to be some online regulations that are going to come out in probably within the next 2 or 3 months, where FIDE is going to put forth some specifications about, you know, having rated online play. But, you know, the prerequisite is going to be there's going to have to be arbiters at every location from which there is play occurring. So it's, you know, unlike we have an online rated system, FIDE is not planning to have an online rated system right now. Because of some other agreements that they already have in place that they haven't been able to get out of just yet. But just be looking for some potential opportunities for rated FIDE play, you know, coming down the pike through, you know, as an online venue, but, you know, in the not too distant future. Carol, we wanted to talk briefly about the January workshop dates.
Correct. So if you recall, a few weeks back, we sent around a poll looking for dates where everybody might be able to meet for an afternoon, much like we did last month, to discuss strategy. The focus of this conversation will be budget. And there were 4 dates where 6 of 7 board members could get together: January 23rd and 24th, February 20th and 21st. So I don't know if there's a will of the group where any one of these dates is better than the other, but I'd like to get it calendared so that something doesn't come in and knock off the opportunity for you to participate. Is there a sense of the group which one of those dates?
Chuck, are you available for all 4 of those? Is the first question.
I should be. Should be available.
Okay. Okay. And Randy, which one is out? Which ones are out for you?
I don't have my calendar in front of me.
Okay.
Carol, you've got the
poll, right? Yeah, I think it was either the 24th, maybe Sunday, the 24th of January. And then I think David Day had no availability. Was it the 23rd of January and the 20th and 21st of February? I have some notes. Yep, Yeah, Randy, you were not available on the 24th.
I don't have my calendar in front of me. I didn't know we were going to do scheduling. So,
what I might do is privately work with you, Randy, and David to see if any one of those dates might open up, and look for the best on those.
Okay. And we have no motions coming out of closed session that we need to bring into open session. We didn't take any votes on anything in closed session. So what I want to do now is just open up the floor to the board members. If anything, any of the board members would like to share with the membership.
I guess I'll say, hang in there. Over the Board Chess will come back one day. Just please hang in there.
Yeah, and
in the meantime, play online.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Play it online. Definitely varies. I play every day online.
It very clearly varies based on, you know, where you are and what the local laws are, because you know, just in November alone, I ran 3 over the board tournaments that had as many as 150 people in them. So, you know, there are venues that can support it where you can do all the social distancing and, you know, and still comply with the local laws in terms of number of people you have in a room and so forth. But I know it's challenging in different places. In some places, it's not quite as challenging. But regardless of what you do as an organizer, as a tournament director, as a player, you have to be safe. And because it's when you let your guard down that something significant and serious can happen. We definitely don't want that.
Agreed with that.
Any other board members have anything you'd like to say? Well, I'd like to, you know, publicly thank our executive director, Carol Meyer, and the entire staff for the superb year. And especially since the coronavirus has hit, you know, we've had curveballs, sliders, you know, high and tight
balls.
We've had everything thrown at us. And it's because of the hard work of, you know, Carol and her leadership and the dedication of the members of our staff that we're doing as well as Chuck mentioned in terms of the numbers. And we're moving forward. But I appreciate, and the board definitely appreciates all of that hard work, Carol, from you and the entire staff. And I'd like to, you know, on behalf of the whole board, wish all the members a very safe holiday season and, you know, the best in the year 2021 to come. You know, take care of yourselves, heed the local policies and laws and rules that are in place with this COVID. And hopefully we can get a vaccine out and start developing some herd immunity, if you will, and, you know, get back to some over the board play sometime in the next year. But wish everybody a safe and happy 2021. One final thing I want to mention is that we've had a nominating committee that the delegates, you know, put into effect, and we voted at the last delegates meeting back in August. And the nominating committee under the leadership of David Grimaud, did a yeoman's job and have put forth the names of 4 candidates. And there may be more candidates that come forward on their own that don't go through the nominating committee process, which is quite possible. But I do urge all the members that are of voting age, you need to get yourself registered to vote in the next U.S. Chess Executive Board election. Because if you don't, then you don't have a voice. And, you know, just screaming at us on the forums or, you know, emails or anything else, and you're not a voting member, it just doesn't make much sense. So, you know, get yourself registered so that you can vote in that election coming up next year. And I'm sure right after the turn of the year, you'll start seeing some of those email communications that the office sends out to voting age eligible members, but you don't need to wait for that to get registered.
And the way to do that right now is to email governance@uschess.org.
So, okay, well, thank you, board members. I appreciate your time this evening. I know we went a little bit longer than what we aimed to, but I think we've got a lot accomplished this evening. And I want to wish all the board members a safe and happy holiday season and the best in 2021. And we still got a lot of work to do on behalf of this organization and our members. And I look forward to working those things with all of you in the next year.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Michael.
Good days, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.